Jeremiah 44. At this point in his life, we're around 580 BC. If you remember from the last couple of weeks, you have Babylon come in, finally took away most all of the Jews in Jerusalem, but there were a few left. A guy named Gedaliah was set up by Nebuchadnezzar to be the puppet ruler. Another guy, Yohanan, told him, hey, there's a guy named Ishmael, and he wants to kill you. Do you want me to go get him? Gedaliah says, nah, you're lying. He doesn't want to kill me. You shouldn't speak evil about him like that. Certainly you shouldn't go kill him. And so Ishmael came in and killed him. And when he finally got chased away by Yohanan and the ones that were left, they came to Jeremiah and said, seek the Lord for us, and we'll do whatever he says to do. Because they're in the place now, remember, okay, Jerusalem's just been pretty much wiped out. The guy who wiped us out left a few of us behind, and he set this fella up to be kind of the ruler, the go-between. That's what Gedaliah said. He said, I'll stay here, I'll be the go-between. You come to me, I'll go to him, all of that. Well, we just killed him. Our people just killed him. So Babylon's going to come back through here and smoke us and kill the rest of us. What are we going to do? And so they go to Jeremiah and they said, just please seek the Lord for us. We'll do whatever he tells us to do because, you know, we have a long history of doing exactly what he tells us to do. That's why we got taken out of here in the first place. No, I mean, that's sarcasm. Obviously, they don't. But they came to Jeremiah. It sounded real good. Jeremiah sought the Lord and he said to him, you're thinking of going back to Egypt, aren't you? You're thinking about heading back. Don't you go. I'm telling you, you stay here, you'll be safe. Babylon won't mess with you. You will be fine. But don't you go back there. You go back there, and everything you think you're going to escape, you're not going to escape. And they told Jeremiah, somebody put you up to this. You're lying to us. You're just trying to trick us. We're going back down there anyway. And, you know, chapter 43, verse 7, so they came to the land of Egypt. It has been 900 to 1,000 years, somewhere in that range, depending on the timeline you follow, since Moses took them out of Egypt. Now they went back because they thought they'd be safe there. Never a good thing in Scripture to go back to Egypt after you've been delivered. And at the end of chapter 43, the Lord spoke to Jeremiah and told him to set up some rocks, put them in the clay because Nebuchadnezzar is going to be coming to town and setting a throne right here, and they're not going to get away from what they thought they were going to escape here. So we come to chapter 44, and it says, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Migdol and Tahpenes and Noph and in the country of Pathros, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, you've seen the evil that I brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day there a desolation, and no man dwells therein. Because of their wickedness, which they've committed to provoke me to anger, and that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods, whom they knew not, neither they, you, nor your fathers. How be it? Now, he says, now, it's kind of like an object lesson. You know, every year, and I don't remember who the group is. Is it DARE that does it now? They do the every 10 minutes or something, and they'll usually stage a car accident and have the kids come out and see somebody looking like they're dead in a car accident to shock them into saying, this is what happens when you drink and drive. Don't do it. Well, this isn't even fake. This is, look over there, that smoke where you guys used to be, there's nobody there anymore. That's because they turned from me, and they went and started worshiping these other gods and stuff. So pay attention, you know. And it wasn't like I just did it randomly. I mean, it's been hundreds of years. He says in verse 4, howbeit I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. Rising early. Some of you people are cursed to be early risers. I am not that guy. I'm a late. I stay up late. I would prefer to get up late if I can. But there are times when I get up early, when I have to, or there's something I really want to do early, right? You remember as a kid trying to sleep before Christmas? You just couldn't the night before. You just want, and my father was the cruelest man on the planet because he would make us sit at the top of the stairs. before we could. You know, I had friends that would like wake up, go downstairs, they'd have a stocking, they'd grab it, go back into the room and tear it open and whatever. Not me. Not us. No, we had to wait. And then my father would come downstairs with my mother and they'd check everything out and make sure everything was okay. They'd make breakfast and do all this. And we'd just sit there like, can't wait, can't wait, can't wait, you know? Of course, I make my kids do that now, too. If you ask them, I do the same thing to them because I'm cruel. Tradition. Right, but here's the Lord expressing, basically, not just the servants rising up early. I rose up early. I was so anxious to warn you. I went to such lengths to try to let you know that this is something that's going to kill you. Don't do it. Don't do it. I hate this thing. But, verse 5, they hearkened not, and they didn't incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense to other gods. I begged them. I sent prophets to them. They wouldn't listen. Wherefore, my fury and my anger was poured forth, was kindled in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, and they're wasted and desolate as at this day. Therefore, now, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit you this great evil against your souls, to cut you off from, to cut off from you man and woman, child, suckling out of Judah, to leave you none remain. Why are you doing this? And it's not against, yeah, it's against me, but it's against you. You're hurting yourself. Don't you see what this does to you? And it's not just you. The stuff that you are doing is going to affect you. It's going to affect your kids. It's going to affect even the babies. I mean, they're all going to pay for this. Why are you doing this? Can't you learn from what you've seen? Don't you know this is killing you? And, you know, it's easy to sit back and say, oh, they were so stupid back then. I can't believe they're not, you know, more advanced like we are, because we know people that are killing themselves doing things today that we warn always turn from it, you know, whether it's drinking or drugs or, no, it doesn't really happen. You know, people purpose in their mind, they're going to do something. It doesn't matter how many people they hurt in the process. He says, in that you provoke me to wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt. Whither be ye gone to dwell, that you might cut yourselves off and that you might be a curse and a reproach among the nations on the earth? Why are you going back down there to worship other gods? Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, is verse 9, and the wickedness of the kings of Judah, and the wickedness of their wives, and your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives, which they've committed in the land of Judah in the streets of Jerusalem? They're not humbled even to this day. Neither have they feared nor walked in my law nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers. It didn't matter. The judgment came. There's some of them that are hauled off into Babylon now that are in captivity. And there's some of you that have run out and you've headed down to Egypt. And despite the horrible stuff that's happened, you will not change your mind. Well, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil and to cut off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed in fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the word and by the famine, the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even to the greatest by the sword, by the famine. They shall be an execration, which is like a curse, an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall escape or remain, that they should return into the land of Judah to which they have a desire to return to dwell there. For none shall return but such as shall escape, except for the ones who are going to get away. Because what he's basically going to say is, Babylon's coming down. See, you thought you could get away from Babylon by running there, but you have to understand the Egyptians are already scheduled for their judgment. They're getting it too. And you just jumped out of the frying pan and into the fire. And I told you if you would just stay there, you would be fine. But no, you wouldn't listen. Still, despite everything that had happened, how I had kept my word to bring judgment finally, now I'm telling you again, you'll be safe if you stay. No, you wouldn't listen. This is kind of amazing. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, well, as for the word that you've spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto you. We ain't listening to you. I know that you say you're speaking for the Lord. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goes forth from our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, our princes, in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of victuals, and we were well, and we saw no evil. Now we were worshiping the Queen of Heaven. Now that Queen of Heaven is Ishtar, it's Ashtart. Interesting thing is, here they've gone into Egypt. Egypt didn't worship Ishtar. So they actually brought an idolatry into Egypt that wasn't there before. They're corrupting the Egyptians. Not that Egypt didn't have enough gods, but they brought a special one down. The Queen of Heaven, pouring out drink offerings. And what they said to him is, well, you know, we know what you've said, supposedly in the name of the Lord. But you know what? We stopped for a little while doing our worshiping of her, and things got worse. When we worshiped her, we had plenty to eat, and we didn't have any trouble. So we're going to go back to it. What do you say? What do you say if you're Jeremiah? You know, I've been doing this for, 46 years now? And they refuse to listen to me? Can you think of a worse job description? Were you the one who said to me, who was it who told me that they thought he had it worse than Job? You're right. I think he really had a worse deal than Job. I mean, Job at least was restored in the end, right? It came back for Job. They never listened to him. Never, ever. 46 years of just seeing people. And, you know, if he hated them, that would be one thing. If he was Jonah, that would be, you know, that hated the people. He wasn't. He loved them. They were his people. And he talked to them for 46 years. And some of you guys understand on some level what that's like, because you have someone in your life that's a friend or a relative, and you've been trying for years and years and years to tell them, man, you're killing yourself with that. You need to stop that. It's just, it's not good for you. You need to get right with the Lord. And they just will not listen. You see him going to trouble after trouble after trouble. So they said, no, we know what you are saying, but we're going to do whatever we want to do. And again, it was more than just burning incense. The worship of these gods was highly sexual. Some of these gods involved child sacrifice. I mean, it was bad stuff. That's why God said, I don't want you having anything to do with that. But they didn't care. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. Verse 19. Verse 18, we saw no evil at the end of verse 17, so verse 18. But since we left off to burn incense for the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we've wanted all things, and we've been consumed by the sword and the famine. See, we stopped doing that, and that's when Babylon came. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? In other words, you're saying that it's the women's fault, but do you think our husbands were involved in this? We were all involved in this. Well, Jeremiah said to the people, to the men, to the women, to all the people which had given him that answer, saying, the incense that you burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, you, your fathers, your kings, your princes, and the people of the land, did the Lord not remember that, them, and it came not into his mind? So that the Lord could no longer bear because of your evil doings and because of the abominations which you've committed. Therefore is your land a desolation and an astonishment and a curse without an inhabitant as at this day. That's the reason why there's nobody left in your hometown and you're here in Egypt, and yet you think that that was better then. Because you've burned incense and because you've sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies, therefore this evil has happened unto you at this day. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people, to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, you and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hand, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings. You will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. You've sworn that's what you're going to do, and then you've done it. You've kept your word. You said you were going to go back to her and start worshiping her again, and you're going to do it. Well, If you're going to keep your vows, then I'll keep mine. Let me make one for you. Therefore, verse 26, hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I've sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God lives. All right, you're going to do that. You're going to go your way. You're going to play that game. Don't drag me into it anymore. Because that sends the most confusing message there possibly is. When you claim to be a follower of the Lord, and yet you go after the things that he says he hates, he says, don't drag me into that. You know, Timothy is told by Paul, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I don't want to be involved in it, the Lord says. I don't want anyone down there claiming to be one of my children anymore. Behold, verse 27, I will watch over them for evil and not for good. And all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. That's it. I'm going to wipe them all out. Yet, verse 28, a small number that escaped the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt. Yet because I am merciful, some of you will still survive. You will escape out of this. You go back into the land of Judah. All the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know these words shall stand, mine or theirs. We'll find out whose word really is going to stand in the end. Is it going to be yours that the Queen of Heaven is going to save you from your problems? Or is it mine, the trouble's on the way? And this shall be a sign unto you, saith the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that you may know that my words shall surely stand against you for evil. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies, and the hand of them that seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy that sought his life. This is how you're going to know the Pharaoh's going to go away, Babylon's on its way. I think the one saving thing for Jeremiah that probably kept him sane through all of it is the understanding that ultimately he was not the one that was being rejected. I mean, his message was being rejected. You know, back in Exodus chapter 16, when the people were complaining that they didn't have enough to eat, remember, they had plenty to eat, they just didn't like it, they wanted meat, we want meat, oh, we're dying for meat. And the Lord tells them, hey, Moses, I'm going to give them flesh to eat. He says, the Lord hears your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, me and Aaron. They're against the Lord. The Lord knows you're complaining. And you're complaining to us, but you're not complaining about us. Ultimately, your problem is with him. In Samuel, when the people are asking for a king, the Lord tells Samuel, listen to the voice of the people and all that they say to you. You're going to do what they say. Give them a king. For they have not rejected thee, but they've rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. For you and I, you know, we tell people about the Lord, but we should be telling people about the Lord, whether it's with our lifestyle or it's with our words. Hopefully it's both. I think the key is to try to talk to them and live before them in such a way that when they reject, if they reject, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting the Lord. I mean, the problem is I can get my, like, stink all over it, you know. I can get myself in there. I can do that up here, and it's one of those things where I know what happens. I mean, and you try not to do it, but then sometimes your own little idiosyncrasies come out, and I offend people. If I come up here and I read the Bible, if I was to come up in here and just read the Word of God and not even comment on it, and they were offended by what it said, that's awesome. Go ahead. You know, I'm glad you're offended at the Word. The problem for me is when they come in here and then I say something cute, trying to be funny, and they get offended and they leave because of that. I don't want that. I don't want to be that. You don't want to be that. We don't want to have our particular convictions be the thing that drives someone away from the Lord. The Lord has told us, I don't want you personally doing that. And then we turn that into some law we try to lay on everybody else, and they refuse the Lord because of our own stuff. That's the key. If you can be in the place where you're only speaking his word, like a Jeremiah, like a Samuel, like a Moses, if you can get to that place where you're representing him the way he wants to be represented, then you can rest in the fact that any rejection is not a rejection of you, it's a rejection of him. And chances are you'll be most successful you could possibly be, because you're not messing things up, right? Well, 45 is a short chapter, as in five verses. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spoke unto Baruch the son of Neriah when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah. You remember, Baruch is he's Jeremiah's scribe. He's the one who does the writing. His name means blessed. His father's name, Neriah, means the lamp of Jehovah. It seems like he comes from, his family has some clout. In chapter 51, when we get there, his brother, Sariah, is going to be mentioned, and he's in the court. So Baruch here, who comes from a most likely wealthy family and could have had a position in the government, instead decided to hang out with Jeremiah and write his words down. He was the guy back a few chapters ago in chapter 36 where Jeremiah was shut up in prison and he says, "Hey, Baruch, I need you to write down what I'm going to tell you. I need you to write down my words in a scroll and then go read it to the people. I can't go myself because I'm locked up, so would you do that?" And Baruch, it says, spends like a year writing everything down. And then he says to him, "Okay, now I want you, because I spoke to them the truth and they wouldn't listen, now I'm in jail, so I want you to take what I said and go read it to them yourself." I don't know if I like that plan. You know, it didn't work out so well to you to say it the first time. Maybe me saying it the second time isn't going to go any better. But he goes. Baruch goes. He's faithful to go. He reads the words. The people hear him, the princes. They get this a copy of the scroll, and they take it to the king, and they tell Jeremiah and Baruch, you need to go hide yourself because we're going to read this to the king, remember? And so they took, it was his scroll that went before the king. They start reading it to the king. The king grabs it, pulls out his scissors, and starts cutting out the pieces he doesn't like, then finally gets frustrated with it. He throws the whole thing in the fire. And then he sends people to go find Jeremiah and Baruch, but it says the Lord hit him. But here's a guy who had position, had power, and he laid that down to be Jeremiah's guy. In fact, he ends up rewriting the scroll again and spending a lot more time, plus adding stuff to it afterwards. Well, this is who we're speaking to. And this is a chapter, it's the only chapter in Jeremiah that's addressed to a specific person. And this was something the Lord wanted to say to Baruch from Jeremiah. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spoke to Baruch, son of Neriah, when he had written those words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch, you did say, oh, woe is me. The Lord has added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest." Some words that stick out to you in that little. The Lord's saying, "I heard what you said, Baruch. You said, woe is me. The Lord has added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing. I find no rest." He's got an eye problem. And Baruch, you know, you feel that way. You've been through that, right? Everybody hates me. Nobody likes me. Gonna go eat worms. I just, everything's bad. I serve the Lord. I lay all this stuff down. And what do I end up with? I end up with grief and sorrow, and I can't get any rest. "Well, thus saith the Lord unto him." Can you imagine this? I mean, I'm not proud of the moments that I have that are like verse 3. I have those moments from time to time, and you just want to throw up your hands and say, "Why even bother?" Right? Everything stinks. Not really proud of those moments. I'm very glad nobody bothered to write one of my moments in the Bible for everyone to read for the rest of eternity. This is the Lord's answer to that. "Thus shall you say unto him, the Lord saith thus, behold, that which I have built, I will break down, and that which I have planted, I will pluck up, even this whole land. Are you seeking great things for yourself? Seek them not, for behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord, but your life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither you go." What he's saying there in verse 4 is, really, You're upset because you've given up everything and you're thinking about what you could have had if you weren't being rejected for my sake. First of all, think about where I'm at with this, because I love these people. I planted these people. I put them in this land. In fact, if you remember what he said at the beginning of the book, chapter 2, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, speaking to Judah and Israel, the kingdom of thy youth, the love of thine espousals. I remember when we first fell in love, when it was likely we're newly married. You know, he goes on in chapter 3 and he talks about her being treacherous and how she's cheated on him. And basically he is looking at the nation like his wife, and that wife has turned on him, and they're, like we just read in the last chapter, cheating on him with other gods, gods that are out, that are not gods, and doing things that are ultimately horrible for them. And he says, you're bummed out because you're not getting everything the way you wanted it, and you're thinking of the pleasures you could have had you been in the state in your position of power, and I've had to tear down the people that I love in this whole land, and you're really seeking stuff for yourself. Don't you understand everything here is going to go, and that if you follow me, you'll have life? I mean, that's ultimately what he's saying is, you, by following me, Brooke, you've got your life. Those other ones don't, because they're not following me. Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, when I have those moments, you know, and you think, what's the point? Or, oh, woe is me, I have things so hard. It'd be better for me to just go back and do what I used to do and be what I used to be. And the Lord says, you do remember that you have life, right? You didn't before, you remember that? You're alive. And you're not, you know, you're saved, right? You're never going to experience the second death. You're free from all of that. Your sin has been forgiven. And then you say, which thankfully for Baruch, I suppose, is not recorded, saying, oh, I'm sorry, I'm such an idiot, I repent. This Baruch, remember, he's the guy, one of the guys back in the 70s when they found all of those, I mentioned it before, all those little clay discs that were seals, and there was one of them that says Baruch, the son of Neriah. We've actually found his scribe seal that he used to, in fact, what I didn't realize that, I didn't read it before, but I heard someone mention it. I was listening to an audio thing. Apparently the one that we have that's Baruch, son of Neriah, actually has his fingerprint on it. So we have this man's, he was a real guy who hundreds and hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, bellyache before God just like we do. And the Lord reminds him, you think you're upset. These people that I love, they've turned from me and they're destroying themselves, and I've had to actually perform judgment on them because they wouldn't listen to me. You shouldn't be bummed. You have your life. So with that, I don't know where you're at. Whether you're in one of those places where you're extremely bummed and you're thinking, what's the point? Or maybe not. Maybe you're not in a Baruch moment right now. But understand, the Lord has given you life. And there is peace, and there is forgiveness, and there is grace, and there is mercy. Sometimes we just need to get our eyes off ourselves and stop whining quite so much. So if you hear me whining, feel free to, I try not to whine in front of you. I usually internalize most of my whining, but if you look at me and think, he's got a whining look on his face, it's okay. You can give me a smack. I'll do the same for you. Fair enough? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are merciful. Lord, we're glad you're just, because we see so many things wrong in the world today, and it's a part of us that just cries out and says, how long, oh Lord, will this go on before you defend those who are being hurt? But Lord, we also know you're merciful and you're long-suffering, and even in your judgment, Lord, there's a remnant that survives. Lord, I pray you would help us to remember, Lord, where we used to be. Lord, to remember the pit that we've been dug out of and the rock that we were hewn from when you set us free. Lord, forgive us for the times when we complain and Lord, give us the strength to trust you, to seek you first, to know that there is freedom in your will, that it's only in your will that we are free. And Lord, we pray you would make that will clear. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace and peace, guys.